Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com, and welcome to the show. We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. Coach has a problem with his headphones. Are you even plugged in? Say something.
Whoa.
Okay, how about now?
There we go.
Can you hear me now? Goodness. Can you hear me now?
We can hear everybody. We can hear everything. I'm Brian Drake. That was Ziggy asking, can you hear me now? Ooh. Coach is to my left and your right. How's it going, Coach?
You know?
All right.
A little bit tired. Long weekend.
So I hear. Maybe we can have a few details.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we have a whole lot of other things to talk about. I have almost 2 pages of stuff here, and I'm not even sure where to start, so I'm not even going to tease anything. We'll just... Because we're not going to get to everything, I know that. But yeah, boy, we got a packed show. So we can be really fast pace.
Ooh,
yeah,
let's go.
It should be. No Scott today. Do we know where he is?
I think, honestly, I think the Boy Scouts got him.
Yeah, where in the world? Yeah, where in the world is Scott? He is still not here. And I'm thinking it's time for a name change if if he's not going to be here then, like that. You know.
So it could be, you know, whatever, and Scott, question mark.
Yeah. Could be, or we can just come up with a general name for the show. I mean, if we put all 4 names on the board, then we're going to sound like a law firm. Yeah. You know, Drake, Scott, Ziggy, and Coach, you know, here for your personal injury needs. You know, have you been injured in a motorcycle accident? Anyway, hopefully Scott is back next week. He does have some things going on that he needs to take care of, and all joking aside. And so, you know, good luck with all that, Scott, and we'll see you back very soon. And I'm not kidding about the name change. So maybe we should see if there are any ideas out there. Maybe we can get the audience to...
Email.
Yeah, email us. Drake and Scott. Scott with 3 T's and spell out every word at gmail.com. So if you have an idea for a new name for the show, something generic, you know, there's one podcast I like called Two Guys, One Coup. And they,
let's not do that. They
do a very good job. No, seriously, a shout out to them. They do a very good job. They do a very similar show to us. And I like them very much. And. So we could have a name like that. I don't know. We'd be 4 guys, 1 insurrection. I don't know. But maybe we can find some sort of name that doesn't depend on certain people being here all the time.
Well, there you go. So I like it.
So we always start with a crazy on the way. Does anybody have anything that is... happened to them over either this morning on the way here or the last couple of days that you want to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, me and Zig were just talking about it because I had a really good one last week, but, you know, there was a technical error.
We had a problem last week. Somebody forgot to bring a critical piece of our recording equipment.
Oops.
And, yeah, so I'm sorry.
You know, because I suffer from OLD.
Right.
You can't remember what
it's escaped me.
Oh no!
However, I am still not at the point where I can let it go. The Cybertruck is still
See, okay. Now that by the way, you did well. We got to wait till Scott comes back. You lost the bet, so you've got to bring us all cigars.
Well, you know,
yes.
I was thinking about that this morning, and I should have made that today. And, you know, so sad, so bad, the fact that he...
Right.
Well, that's true. And don't forget, you know, we have this message specifically to you from President Trump.
Hi, it's your favorite president. I hear Coach lost the don't say truck bet. That's okay, Coach. I still love you, even though you are a loser.
Me and the Donald. Let's go. You know, it's funny. So many haters of the Cybertruck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... just out and about this weekend. I had a really busy weekend. People just come up and talk to you. And, oh, I had this woman approach me. Can my son look at your, he just loves your truck. Happens every day.
Yeah, it happens to me too with the Corvette. And I usually have only one question for them.
This is Donald Trump. Why are you gay?
And,
this is Donald Trump. Listen to Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com. Nobody ate cats when I was president.
You know, if we change our name, I'm going to have to ask the president to give us some new liners. You know, in fact, he did one for my telephone, my voicemail thing here.
Hi, this is Donald Trump. My buddy Brian can't come to the phone right now, but leave a detailed message and he'll call you back. Believe me.
Celebrity voices done by AI.
That's funny.
So, I'm sorry, we've interrupted your story on the Cybertruck and people coming up to you.
No, just in general.
Okay, are women coming up to you and throwing their underwear and saying, you know,
I'm a superhero. But you know what? It's still, every time I get in and drive it, I like it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we finally got the autonomous parking.
Oh, wow.
And it's legit. It works. Okay. Parallel parking, it always wants to back in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's flawless.
Wow.
Yeah, it's legit.
Very good. Ziggy, any stories from you?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing? Okay.
I'm just listening about the DeLorean.
Okay.
The DeLorean.
Well, I've been living as
Wow, I may change the name of the truck. I like it.
I've been living as a bachelor the last week and a half. My wife is in Texas visiting her father and grandmother. And we've decided that I'm a bad traveler, so I don't travel to Texas anymore. I don't like Texas. You can go into a donut shop and buy a box of donuts and a gun if you want, but I don't like the environment, and the bugs are bigger than your fist, and it's just I don't like Texas. So I stay home, and it's fun for the first couple of days, and then after I start getting bored and depressed, and it's like, where's my wife at? And it's like, I mean, yeah, I've got the bed all to myself, which is nice. Nobody's hogging the bathroom, which is even better. But now I'm kind of ready for her to come home now.
I did notice that you're wearing the same clothes that you were wearing last week.
Yeah, right. Well, because
is that real?
No, it is because I'm not allowed to use the washing machine. So, I'm out of clothes, so...
You're recycling.
Yeah.
There you go.
Air it out for a couple minutes.
Doing your part to save water.
That's right. There you go.
Good job.
Oh, boy.
No, I am allowed to use the washing machine. I just... You know,
Choose otherwise.
Why? Because, I'm living by myself. Why not?
Yeah, she'll never know.
It's just me and the cat. The cat's acting strange, too, because she's not around. He jumps on the bed and... He looks at me and is like, why is there this empty space on the other side of the bed? Right. Where's mom? And it's like, okay, she'll be home soon. And then he gets nervous and curls up next to me. And it's so anyway, so we've had some father-son time, which is nice. Yeah, I know.
You're calling your cat your son. That's
even the president has some for
this
that.
Is Donald Trump. Why are you gay?
Why? Which one?
All right, so let's go to our
what do we got here?
Topics here. We're going to have to be quick because we will have to start a conversation and then finish it next break. We have America's youngest voters are swinging to the right. Let's talk about that for a minute. This is Gen Z, the group that everybody, the Democrats specifically, think are going to vote exclusively for them, and. Maybe some of the older ones, they might have a point, but the younger ones, not so much. 18 to 24 years old, 24% identify as liberal, 26% as conservative, 48% as moderate. Now, neither party can win an election on the 22 and 26%. So, once again, we're seeing the pattern of where you need to go to that 48% and get them onto your side.
I love that.
It's kind of like things, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, I mean, this has always been the case. The partisans can never win anything. There's not enough of them. You have to get the people that are in the moderate to undecided range, and that's always been the majority.
But I still think this is really directly speaking about extremists versus
Right.
Sane people.
The extremists are a very small number. Now, when you get to 25 to 29, the conservative liberal flips. It's 27% liberal, 21% conservative, but still 48% moderate. So you've got that consistency there, which, pretty much shows that things are going to continue as they have, despite the crazies on social media, because they use that to make it look like they're so much bigger than they are.
Yeah, but so Scott's not here, so I have to put a plug in for him. Is this a poll? Of course it is.
Yeah. I mean, they have polled people of those age groups.
You know how we feel about polls and where they belong in certain clubs.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, though, because, I mean, this is not a poll in the usual sense.
Yeah.
As in who you're going to vote for.
Somebody gathered this data.
Yes. And some
if you don't know who gathered the data, and, you know, although it seems.
Harvard Youth.
Yeah, Harvard Youth poll. I mean, it's the data.
Harvard
here.
Youth?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that seems like a very small slice of reality, right? Harvard Youth.
Well, that's the group that did the poll. It wasn't strictly at Harvard. They asked
Harvard Kennedy School
all over the place,
nationwide.
Were you involved in this poll?
No, but I'm just telling you it was
because that's what you believe. Or
I'm going.
You looked at the data.
I'm going by what the article describes. Okay, that is who conducted the poll. They interviewed people all over the country.
Scotty, wherever you are, I'm battling for you because I know what you'd be saying at this point.
But why do you want to argue with this? Because
polls are flawed general. I don't care who's doing them; they're flawed. They're just
okay. But this is a poll that suggests things aren't as crazy as we've been led to believe by certain members of a partisan group.
I get what you're saying. When they're crazy polls, we question them. When they're more sane polls, we shouldn't question them.
That's what you're saying, and I'm saying
we should question all polls. Even if they sound like they're sane, it's still a poll. I'm just saying.
I understand. Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from.
You can't say, oh, I don't agree with that, so it's stupid.
I don't necessarily disagree with polls in general. I think they're a good barometer of the direction things may be going.
That's where Scott would be arguing.
I understand. I understand that. I understand. Yeah. But it's like you can't just dismiss polls 100%.
I'm not suggesting that we should.
Right. But the point I'm making here is that 48% of both age groups, 18 to 24 and 25 to 29, are not identifying as one extreme or the other.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yes.
But I don't want to accept that poll just because I like that. Because it's still
an indication that the next generation is not doing what is predicted by one of the extremist sides. They are going to take the same route we've been taking since forever.
I agree. But this still goes back to it's a poll. And because I agree with it, I don't want to accept it at face value. And, you know, it's a poll. And somebody gathered this.
Yeah, but you know, we're going to be dead before we actually see if that information comes to fruition, you know.
it also begs.
So we kind of have to say, "Hey, maybe everything's going to be okay, and we can just go away and."
No, I have kids and I have grandkids, and I hope they are. Right. I really do hope that this is more reality, because you know we talk about TikTok and all the BS that we have going on in the world today. It is the minority that you hear. They are the roar. Mm-hmm. It's not because. This 48%, if this poll is at all correct, they're the silent majority.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones you have to win over. Can you win them over with cutting off genitals?
But I'm talking about all the narrative BS.
Yeah.
They're the loud ones. They're the ones that are front and center that you hear.
Right.
And it's the least of us, right? It's the minority that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's always problematic as well.
Yep.
So I really like the way this looks, but just because I like it, I don't want to accept it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll accept it, and you won't accept it, and we'll cancel each other out.
It's a poll.
All right. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach, RadioSlot.com, back after this.
Why?
Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on RadioSlot.com. We are back with our... You okay over there? Back with our second segment. I heard some clanging and banging.
Yeah,
dude, we need the on the air mic. You're pulling that trigger without telling us. That's not okay.
Anyway, back with segment two. We got a story on smaller portions at restaurants coming up here, but we were talking about the weather and how we are into late September. In fact, early October as this airs, and we're still looking at triple digits this week here in town. And I'm really getting tired of triple digits. I'm ready for hoodie weather.
Yeah,
are you yanking that for a reason?
Yeah, I'm
like, hey.
Having issues.
What are your issues? Can we fix them right now or what?
There we go. Yeah.
Do you have one of your ears cutting out?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's time for new headphones. Those are getting worn out. All right.
I thought you were
going to
get
I just got to yank my cord every once in a while.
You know. They need some lube.
Doug shines his pole.
Do that in the other room, please. Yeah.
So anyway, it's going to be hot this week. Triple digits all through Thursday.
Woof.
And Coach, you were saying you have a plan to deal with hot weather.
I think we'll be doing
because you're a soccer coach and you got practice coming up and yada yada.
I think we'll be doing video analysis. I have a shameless plug for VO. I have a camera that we use for taping all the games. So we'll go inside in a air conditioned space. You were asking about it's like
yes, is this a drone camera or is it stationary?
It's like 35 feet in the air. It's on a pole, by the way.
I don't know if I can accept that.
Yeah, we'll be in an air conditioned space.
I have to just the filter is engaged.
What?
That's all I could say.
Oh no, the naked cruelty. Come on.
No, I just
that was his break time.
If it's on a pole, then. But it is too disgusting if I make that.
No, choice. You're
awful.
Scared.
No, I am scared.
You're scared
because I'd be making jokes about girls climbing the pole, and it's like I've seen the. I've been to one of your games. Those girls are way too young for me to be making jokes like that. It's completely inappropriate for me to say anything that.
Blatantly.
So I'm not going to do that.
So,
yeah, but that's the first thing that came to mind.
Love it.
I'm sorry.
So Stan, back to the topic. It's going to be really hot. So for the next couple of days, we'll probably go do video analysis and be in air conditioned space, and it'll be great.
Very nice
from the camera. That's
it's comfort from your own.
That's
pole.
Mounted very high. Yeah,
on a pole.
That's right. All right. So we've been hearing lately about restaurants shrinking portion sizes of their meals while at the same time not changing prices.
And asking for higher tips.
Does it say that? Hold on.
Well, no, not in this article in particular, but I'm hearing that from like Chipotle and the shrink burgers that are coming out, like the Big Mac's not as big as it used to be, and just things like that. But from the New York Times here, it's anecdotal. But
let's start with your caption though, because I thought it was interesting. Smaller food portions at restaurants becoming the norm. And you say fine as long as you're not charging higher prices.
Right. If you're going to shrink what you're selling, shrink the prices too. And according to this article, that's kind of what they're thinking. It's from the New York Times. Portion sizes in American restaurants shot up in the 80s and never came down. The average serving of spaghetti and meatballs doubled, bagels ballooned to 6 inches, etc. Nutritionists and policymakers haven't had much success in fighting portion creep, which has been linked to health problems associated with obesity. But today, a combo plate of economics, demographics, and climate science may accomplish what years of hard hand-wringing could not, loosening the grip that supersized restaurant portions have had on the national diet. Now, restaurants sinking under rising food costs are trying to figure out how to sell smaller servings without upsetting value-minded customers. This month, the Portion Balance Commission, based at Georgetown University's McDonald School of Business, began a year-long study to puzzle out the problem.
Have you seen America?
Yeah, everybody's huge. Everybody's huge. Big and gross. And I was at
big and gross.
I was at Bass. I went to Bass Pro yesterday with my dad. We went to buy ammo and guy things. gun part. Gun cleaning stuff. I mean, And ahead of us, and there was one checkout lady. Bless her heart. The line was to the moon, and the guy in front of us had to have been 450 pounds, had a cart full of stuff, mostly clothes. It was like he was buying for the whole squad. And it's like, bro, eat a salad. For an alleged outdoorsman, which he appeared to be from the gear he was buying, he ain't moving around a lot. And I don't mean to pick on this guy, but a lot of America looks like that. And because, I mean, the food is basically poison, and it's awful, yeah. And it's just, you know. Yeah. And I agree that there's too much of it, and if they want to shrink the portion sizes at restaurants, that's fine, but you also have to shrink the price.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $40 for something that should only be
$20. Do you have to,
half the size.
Have to what?
Shrink the price.
You better shrink the price, because I'm not paying a premium for less.
Then don't.
Yeah.
I think that's even a better solution.
Don't eat out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that is.
These are choices that we have, right?
I understand, but every now and then it's nice to go out.
Throw
and
that on top of the crazy tip demand, too.
Yeah. It's
20% is the new low.
I've seen it as low as 18, but it's basically, you know, round up, it's there.
Yeah. No.
Well, and half the time it's automatic.
You get 10.
It's like I look at
you get 3, depending on what mood I'm in. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because if it's poor, I always tip something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you don't tip, they think, oh, you're just a jerk, and you forgot, or you don't care. So if you tip really low, it's like, no, I specifically went out of my way to show you that this was awful.
Yeah. Boop. Food costs aren't the only pressure on serving sizes. As much as 40% of food served at restaurants never gets eaten, according to a 2020 study on food waste. So there's that, too. They serve too much. Not everybody can finish it. And there are people starving in China, and we're throwing everything in the dumpster.
That's always been the case.
I guess.
Yeah.
But is that a good thing? If there were smaller portions, would we throw out less?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. It's funny you mentioned that most of our food is poison. You know, you go to Europe and you go across the pond, there's a ton of stuff, one, that they don't allow. They just don't even allow. Mm-hmm. But depending
half the garbage
on sugar content and this and that, they put warnings on cereal and soda. And it's like, this is bad for you. Mm-hmm. This will kill you. Put it right on.
I understand. Yeah, they're...
Not here. We make it flashy.
Yeah, you really. If you want to eat healthy, you really have to be your own advocate, because nothing available is going to accomplish that goal.
They are happy to poison you, so that you need health care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then they can feed you the drugs, and the wheel keeps on turning.
Mm-hmm. That's why we need RFK Jr. and a Trump administration. Make America healthy again.
That's his deal. I don't know. Have you studied it?
Not as in depth as I should have, but you know, I'm certainly going to advocate for it. And also, Elon being on the government waste or government efficiency council or whatever they're going to
love,
whatever they talk about him doing. And in fact, we got something from Elon here we should talk about. But we can. We're almost up on a break here.
The other king.
The other king, is that?
Yeah.
That's what you're calling Elon?
Yeah.
Who? Okay, so Trump is the first.
No.
Who's?
Rogan.
Oh, Joe. Okay.
Joe. He's the king.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, we're up on a break, so back after this, Drake and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslot.com.
In Springfield... They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. Eat the cat.
Seeing red, so don't push me. Ain't Donald Trump trying to grab him by the... Said it was some Haitians somewhere out in Springfield. Women doing cartwheels.
Have you seen Garfield?
Eat the cat.
Have you seen Snowball? This about to snowball. I'm about to go off. I can't let this go on. Miss me like an airball. Tell me where my cat is coughing up like a hairball. I gotta tell them if they even...
Drake and Scott with Ziggy on and Coach on Radioslot.com. That's Eat the Cat. It is a... whoops, I didn't mean to do that. It is a... Fellow on YouTube calls himself the Marine Rapper. This has been out for 2 weeks now, and it has 4.5 million views. In fact, on it for, during its first 3 days, he was up at over a million views.
Wow.
You should look it up on YouTube. Yeah. Just it's Eat the Cat, the Marine Rapper. It is the animation of the dancing cats and the dancing Trump. Very good. And it's you know, taken from Mr. Trump's remarks during the debate with Camelblah. And it is a story that is just kind of blown up on its own. Are you watching the video there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty legit.
I need to try and contact the Marine Rapper and see if he'll come on our show. But, yeah, it was 1.3 million views in its first 3 days. So it really took off.
Yeah, that's pretty legit.
All right, so
where to?
Where are we going next? Let's. Oh, I know. Oh. Let's. The Babylon Bee did a great... Because Gavin Newsom here in California, he just passed a bill or signed a bill or signed a law that targets the AI deepfakes and creating videos of politicians, celebrities, etc., that are saying things that they aren't actually really saying. And he's trying to,
somebody should do a deepfake video of him.
Oh, so well, somebody did. The Babylon Bee here. I had to switch computers to find it, and now I have lost where.
Oh, it took me to.
I have lost where the story is. Doggone it! Come on, Babylon. There we go. So this was on their Twitter.
We should do a haircut video. Yeah. A haircut rap.
All right, so let me get this queued up. It's a minute and 57 seconds. I don't know if we'll play the whole thing, but let's see how it sounds.
Hi, I'm Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. This is a message for the people of America, given in my authentically recorded non-AI voice. Thanks to my leadership over the last several years, California has become a world leader in extremist left-wing governance. My policies were so effective that almost 1 million people are now fleeing the state every year. We even ran out of U-Hauls. During the COVID pandemic, I locked everyone in their homes and shut down businesses for months. Not the French Laundry, though. That's my favorite restaurant. Last year, I cleaned up the dangerous, messy streets of San Francisco, you know, because Chinese Communist President Xi was coming, and I really wanted to impress him. He's my boss, after all. This year, I signed legislation that allows me to take custody of your kid if you refuse to give him artificial hormones and chop off his genitals. Because if you don't do that, you're a bigot. And bigots shouldn't be allowed to have kids. I've also led the way in green energy by banning all cars that don't run on electricity. Then I banned almost all the electricity. This is smart. The cost of living and homelessness have skyrocketed. Schools are failing. Drug dealers and human traffickers are pouring across the border. And poop has covered the sidewalks of San Francisco. This is the positive, joyful vision we offer as Democrats.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I'm enthusiastically endorsing Kamala Harris for president in 2024. She'll do to the country everything I did in California. Anyway, I'm California Governor Gavin Newsom, and I approve this 100% real message, which is a recording of my voice the assistance of any AI whatsoever. This isn't a deep fake, and you can rest assured that it isn't, because I just signed an unconstitutional law outlawing deepfakes. No one would dare violate it. Thank you, and science bless America.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it needs to be stated that this is right off the internet.
Yeah.
It's
from the Babylon Bee's Twitter page, or X page, and it came out September 17th, and kind of blew up a little bit, and I had to play it. It is absolutely hilarious. And so true. I mean, I was at the office last week in San Francisco. It was last Friday, and
nothing but facts.
Yeah, I know. we have my office and then a Walgreens on the corner. And as I'm going to get some stuff for my lunch, you know, you have to guide around the poop, you know, the poop piles. And of course, it was a little hot that day, so it reeked. And I think I even still smelled it going back inside my building. And it's just an absolute cesspool. And, you know, the usual suspects seem to think that that is okay.
We do not, however, certify the authenticity of that video.
Oh, no, it's totally fake. Yeah, but I mean, but it was totally fake and totally hilarious. And
however,
it might as well be
totally real.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I true mean, it's, and yeah, correct.
Right.
Not real, but true and correct.
Not far off.
You think that's what? The reason he made that bill?
There was,
because it's all about him for
there,
sure.
There was some stuff with Kamala that was created a few months ago, and then suddenly we have this bill now. And there was, I think it was in response to that, and there was some incidents with Taylor Swift a few months ago too, where there were unflatteringly AI generated pictures of her, and. So, I mean, it's we're going to have some sort of regulation on this AI and deepfakes. It is, I mean, that sounds so much like Gavin. The clips I play of Trump sound so realistic. It is actually very dangerous. So there has to be some sort of regulation.
Government oversight? That'll work.
I know, but we have.
Seriously, what are you suggesting?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. The current law.
It's not going to work.
No. The current laws on broadcasting and on air content really don't cover this, so they're going to have to be modified.
I disagree 1,000%.
We have the FCC that monitors and regulates broadcasting. There are things you can't put on TV and radio just because. And they're going to have to expand those rules to include deepfakes because it is too dangerous to have stuff like that. I could have Trump say anything. And based on that voice that is so close to his own, you would think he's actually saying it.
So
and that
Gavin, what are you suggesting that – so we have this – we put these laws in place. What do you think – the end result of that will be? Because I know what it'll be. What do you think it'll be?
There has to be at least some sort of disclaimer.
End result. What do you think the end result of laws saying deep fake AI stuff is illegal?
No. I'm not saying it's illegal. There's no putting this back. There's no putting this genie back in the bottle here.
That's my point.
Yeah. So there has to be some rules. This is what you can do.
Okay, I get it. But people will break those rules. So what is the end result of that?
Well, if you break FCC rules, you get a big fine. You get some sort of penalty.
No, it's going to do is going to gum up the courts again with stupid lawsuits and criminal charges. On stuff that, again, you said the genie's already out of the bottle. You just have to use your brain. And at some point, anything you hear will be suspect. Just like polls are suspect. Pretty much anything you hear, people that get their news from even now, unfortunately, the news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You have to question.
Yep.
And as people of good conscience, you have to self-regulate yourself. And if you haven't heard it, if it didn't come out of the horse's mouth, maybe. That's just the world. That's the world that we have entered into. There's no taking that genie out of the bottle.
Right. So that's why we either don't trust anything or we have some sort of indication that this is parody, this is fake, that has to be slapped on.
But people are going to cheat.
Okay, that's fine. And we will have to ferret that out. I mean,
that'll be government oversight ferreting that out, and they do such a good job at that.
No one said anything about the government. If there is
FCC, do you consider them government?
I'm not even talking about FCC or anything like that. What I'm talking about is some sort of like Judicial Watch or Media Matters, some other group like
prove
that.
It's fake first.
They can flag it as we think this is a suspect video, and this is why.
So then people who have a narrative will think anything is fake that doesn't agree with them. Yeah, no, this is a rabbit hole. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah, and we're going to go.
This is a rabbit hole.
And we're going to go in circles.
Of course,
I don't agree with that.
It's fake. Right off the bat.
I see where you're going. But,
it's craziness. I know,
but there's going to have to be something. And I don't,
people of good conscience using their brain. And again, it'll be virtually anything that you hear or see that's on TV or the internet. Yeah, it's okay. And it's gonna escalate. It's gonna get worse and worse, and they're gonna get better at it. Mm-hmm. No, it's
now. Let's go to the other extreme here. This is John Kerry at at a conference talking about how the internet and the prevalence of information is making it very tough to get people to get on one side or the other.
And I think the dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. You can't, you know, there's no, the referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact have kind of, you know, been eviscerated to a certain degree. And people go, and that people self-select where they go for their news or for their information. And then you just get into a vicious cycle. So it's really, really hard, much harder to build consensus today than at any time in the 45, 50 years I've been involved in this.
Now, being in government for 50 years, there's part of the problem right there. but is he right? Is he wrong?
Well, clearly, I agree, right? And it's, I'm telling you, and it's going to be the point where there's nothing you can trust that's on that stupid idiot box or that other little idiot box that you're looking at right now. Based on who controls it and what the narrative is and what message I want you to hear.
Mm. So, okay, so let's paint the picture of a lot of fake information being out and about. Will that lead to people not participating at all? It's like, I don't know what to trust. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm just going to sit over here and eat bonbons.
Yeah, lazy people will do that, sure.
And, of course, you know, we have that already, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah, we do.
Okay.
But, again, it's going to be a horse's mouth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, that's how far we've gone because, again, when you can, whether it's video, and again, all this is just the technology. We're right on the leading edge of all this.
It's Wild West
right now.
It's getting
better and better and better, and that will to where you will not be able to
distinguish.
Distinguish whether it's real or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then what do you do?
Yeah. Well,
then those with the money and the power and all that will be able to sell any narrative, any reality that they want.
Yeah, so it's like I said, it's scary.
Sheeples.
That's why.
Sheeples.
We'll have to see how it shakes out because it is getting scary.
Yeah, I don't watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
I don't either.
I just look at headlines.
I mean, it's funny. I think the right wing media is as bad as the left wing media.
Yeah.
We were talking about this. I think in the last episode. I would love to have a place where they just gave me information. And I don't know that exists.
I like Citizen Free Press. It's just headlines, and then you can click on things, and then they
But I'm talking about that I can trust that all I have is information with no spin.
Right.
Either way.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday. Right now we are up on a break. Got our last segment coming up, Coach's Corner, and I'd like to start a new segment called Brian Drake's Encouraging Thoughts. Something like that.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, so we'll be back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Back with our final segment for this episode. And we're going to debut, I'm not sure on the title yet. Right now I'm calling it Brian Drake's Encouraging Thoughts. These are heartfelt messages from me to you that might make you have a much better day.
Lord help us.
Yes. Anxiety tip. Next time you cringe over some embarrassing moment you had years ago, try to remember other people's embarrassing moments. You can't, can you? That's because you're the only embarrassing human to exist. Everyone else is always thinking about how cringy you are. Go in Christ.
Wow. Yeah, that was very encouraging. Yeah.
I've got more. I mean, yes.
Why? I'm sure you do.
But we'll save those. We'll save those for next time. And
I see
now
that
we have
thumb working on your supercomputer.
That's right.
Furiously.
I like this one here too. Don't be hard on yourself for not finding love. Maybe your soulmate is already dead. I'm sorry. Go and crush it.
Wow. Just wow.
So yeah, I'll come up with a proper title, but yeah, that's something I
Brian Drake's Naked Cruelty. No, alive
no,
and well.
No. It's my encouraging thoughts.
Yeah. Brian Drake's disguised Naked Cruelty. Alive and well.
All right, save us, Coach. What do you have that's positive and uplifting?
The world is full of good people. If you can't find one, be one.
Oh. All right. Very good.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Simple.
Ziggy, any final thoughts on what we've talked about today?
No. Don't trust the pole.
Don't trust the pole.
Don't climb the pole.
Don't climb the pole.
Don't spin on the pole. Where have I been spending my nights?
Cats away. Cats away. Oh my goodness. Mice will play.
No, the cat's at home. That's You know, speaking of cats and mice, Marlo is our cat. He likes to go out at night.
You have
and
a male cat named Marlo.
Yes, I do.
Where's that Trump clip?
No, not right now. This is this is a funny story. We have this big hedgerow out in front of the house, and he likes to sit there
in
front of it.
Do you live in
Britain? It's a hedge, and it's in a row, so it's a hedgerow.
Isn't that a British thing?
So we have a bunch of mice that hang out in that hedge.
In the hedgerow.
That's right. So Marlo likes to sit and watch for the mice. He likes to stick his head in and hunt and look for them. Anyway, the other night he grabs one, has it in his mouth, brings it back to the porch. The poor mouse is like a squeaky toy going, ee, ee, you know. He drops it on the cement. The mouse takes off. So for the next 10, 15 minutes, those two are going back and forth across the yard. You've got this tiny mouse and this big cat.
Injured tiny mouse.
Well, no. See, Marlo didn't hurt him. He just liked to bat him around a little bit. So at one point, the mouse, I guess, is playing dead.
Marlo.
And Marlo's sitting there watching him, waiting for him to move, and then finally said, okay, well, he's not moving. I'm going to go inside now. And it was, and I was out with a cigar. It was hilarious. It was better than any TV show.
You named your cat Marlo.
That's right. After Philip Marlo.
Or Marlo Thomas.
No. He's named after Philip Marlo, who was the detective character in The Big
Marlo.
Sleep. Written by Raymond Chandler. If you knew how to read, you might understand that.
Marlo.
All right. So that's it for this week.
Broke Coach.
We really need Scott back, so hopefully he'll be back next week. Good day to you, sir.
Yeah.
And good day to each other. Good day to you, sir, Mr. Ziggy. Now it's time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.
Meow.